Who are you?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, I mean, first of all, I'll say I'm the heart of the Loop of Love. And you can say, what is the Loop of Love?
Yes, that is,
well,
the follow-up.
It all starts with, you know, when I was, I guess, a little kid, you know, just doing things my way. But my title, which I'm going to go first to, is Chief Energizing Officer. You can't have a Loop of Love without a little energy. And, you know, the Loop of Love, and I actually have a foundation called the Loop of Love Foundation. It's about giving back. It's about connecting. It's about, you know, the group, from the Gathering of Titans to friends to family, that are all in that Loop of Love that I care so much about. And that's the difference I want to make, you know, happen in this world. How do I give back? How do I make people feel great when they're leaving a room, because it's authentic, humble, and kind? And that's really what I'm about. I'm a master connector, and I'm a friend, and I'm a father, and I'm a grandfather now, and I'm living my best life. Not everybody might
feel
that life, but I am living it.
I love it. And just for everyone listening, just for a little bit of context, Randy and I met recently at a, I want to say business gathering, but it's so much more than that. It's a group called Gathering of Titans that are initially came through EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization. And it's a group that's been together for 25 plus years and, you know, meet every year in this classroom. So there's 60 or 70 seats. And it's just, it's a magical experience. I mean, there are a tremendous amount of stories being shared, but then, you know, business impact and lives being impacted, but like from a place of heart. So, you know, it's interesting when you mentioned, you know, Loop of Love and the heart and everything behind that. And I shared this before we hit record for everyone listening. You'll feel this in a minute or pretty soon, or maybe you already have, but Randy's like the, it's kind of like the life of the group in a way. You know, there's like a, everyone knows people like that, that instantly, as soon as you speak to them for a couple minutes, you're like, wow, there's a zest there for life that's just a few notches above most people. And that's you, Randy. So I'm curious, like, who gave that to you at a young age? Like, where did that Loop of Love first show up?
I came up with this, this kind of quote called "Heart of a Cougar, Soul of a Lion." And I don't know where I originally got that, but I'll share this kind of fun story. And, you know, my background is I'm kind of an OG of ticket brokering. Ticket City has been around for, you know, 40-some years. I started out of the University of Texas. And we actually
$1,200, right, or something like that?
Yeah, $1,200, life savings, bought $206 tickets. Game didn't sell out. I had to go out to the street and hawk them, and game sold out, sold all the tickets for $15 a piece, and I'm thinking, stand back, non-believers, I can do this arbitrage. And we had a bowl game years ago. I think this is in 2012. And I'll share this fun story because I just love the story. And we had the first year of the Ticket City Bowl, we had Texas Tech versus Northwestern, and they let the CEO go do the coin toss. And I did that. And then the next year we had it, and we had Penn State versus Houston. And I'm going out to do the coin toss again. And I'm like, I can't just do a coin toss this year. I need to spice this up. I need these players to play with all the intensity. You know, come on, it's on ESPN. Let's get noticed. So I'm about out there, and I got the Penn State folks towering on the right to me after their tough year with Joe Paterno, and Houston Cougars and Case Keenum towering on the left. And I look at these guys and I say, gentlemen, victory loves preparation. And today you all have prepared yourself to be victorious. And I looked at these guys and I looked at Penn State and I said, fellas, will you all play with the soul of a lion and give it everything you have? Can you do that for me, boys? And they looked like deer in headlights.
Yes, sir.
Why are we getting a pregame coin toss?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I looked at Case Keenum in Houston and I said, Case, Houston, will you all play with the heart of a cougar and give it everything you have? Can you do that for me, boys? And Case looks at me shaking his head. Then I don't usually tell this part, but I did the Guinness Book of World Records highest launch of a coin toss in the history of coin tosses. It wafted. It hit a Penn State player on the helmet, bounced 20 yards. The referee was broiling like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And, chased it down. It was heads. That's all Penn State won the whole game. So after the game, you have to bring the trophy onto the field. And I'm carrying this big Eagle trophy onto the field. Case Keenum locks eyes on me. He points at me. The whole team is behind him. And you know what he says to me? Heart of a cougar, baby. Heart of a cougar. Paying attention wins. And then the team surrounded me, jumped up and down, you know, shouting, show me the money. Show me the money. And it was just an amazing experience. But, you know, going back to answer your question, it's just, I don't think you can just teach that. You know, I grew up with a nice Jewish family, you know, two younger sisters, mom and dad, middle class, working for IBM. And I was just tossed out in the yard. Go play, you know, I mean, figure it out. So.
But you have a role model. Was there someone in your circle that you felt that level of energy?
You know, there kind of was one guy, Scott Cohen. I worked at the Rocking Horse Ranch when I was, I think, 15 years old, and you're supposed to be 16. And this is in Highland, New York. My parents dumped me off at the ranch, no place to stay. And I figured it out. And he was just the maitre d' there. And I saw the way he shook hands and talked to people. And, you know, he would light up a room. I mean, who doesn't want to walk into a room and go, ta-da, and go, stand back, non-believers. I mean, let's have some fun. Let's get some energy where we are at any moment in time.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself someone that has a high risk tolerance?
100 million and 1%. It's, you know, I mean, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I am Gene Wilder walking out. Let's figure it out. And yeah, you know.
What helps manage that though, Randy? Because I mean, that can't be super, you know, it's there, especially, you know, you've been in business for many decades at this point. I mean, it you know, it's hard, or it definitely can be hard. What's helped you manage that risk?
I love how you frame that, because let's talk just the circle of life. This is so real. You know, you got the circle of life. We're born, you know, we crawl, we walk, we run. We're, you know, starting our business. We got the go-go years in business, taking risks and chances and making things happen. And, you know, we're eventually going to die. But at a certain time in life, and, you know, mine is now 60, I think it's the same for everybody. When you hit 60 years old, you know, you are on the down climb of that hill. You know, you're sliding down it. And, you know, I want to slide down, and I want to have rashes on my booty shaker and, you know, have a fun journey. But I think you come into your own a little bit where, you know, you're able to have a relationship with maybe the person of your dreams and figured out who you are. I mean, I have two ex-wives over, you know, running a company. And, you know, when you choose to be the best in your company, it could kind of take away from you being present at a young age, because you're not ready and qualified to, you know, be successful at both. And it's hard work, relationships. So, I am in heaven right now and living my best life. And it is fun in the sun and out of the sun.
When is your mind most quiet? Like when, cause we see and feel, and you give a lot of energy to a lot of people, but I'm curious, you know, what's the flip side of that for you?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I have a layer model, all right, that I talk about in one of my books, and this kind of cool. It's hard for me to be quiet because it's just my DNA. I'm actually going to be doing a 4-day silent retreat. And this cat has maybe been silent for 4 minutes in his life at a time. And the layer model goes like this: listen, acknowledge, explore, and respond. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you're hanging at home with your partner, and, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching SportsCenter, your feet are kicked up, and your partner, your wife, whatever, says, honey, will you take out the trash? And you're watching SportsCenter, and you barely heard her. You shake the cobwebs out, and you go, honey, you want me to take out the trash? So you just acknowledge. You listen, and you acknowledge. She feels like she's been heard because you acknowledge. You repeated it like a parrot. But now you better do some questions so you can get back to enjoying SportsCenter. And you're going to explore, all right? Dora the Explorer. And you're going to say, honey, you want me to take out the trash in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the bedrooms, you know, in the garage? And what is she going to say? I want you to take out all the damn trash. Okay. Yeah. All right. Honey, you know, you repeat that like a parrot. Honey, you want me to take out all the trash? Great. You just listened, you acknowledged, you explored by asking questions, and now here's your response. Honey, I'll take out the trash in 10 minutes right after SportsCenter. Bam, she feels heard, everything's good, you just laird her. And if you try that in relationships at home, at work, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, everywhere.
People just want to be heard. So GOT has helped me be, just be. And it's hard. It is hard because, you know, without the help and the learning of books like yours and books like Untethered Soul, reading those things have made amazing differences in my life. And I'll give you an example. The Untethered Soul book, which many of us have heard about.
Yeah.
I had my daughter read that. I said, you know, she went to the school, University of Spoiled Children, in California, which is USC. And I said, you know, you get a $500 allowance every week, I mean, every month. And I'm like, I'm not giving it until you read this book. And high-functioning USC student read it in 3 hours and calls me back. And, you know, we talked about it for a second. She explained, you know, what she read so I would know she read it. And she goes, Dad, thanks for having me read that book. And I'm like bawling, you know, because it's like, how many times did our parents give us something that really made a difference?
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to be. I'm going to be doing a 4-day silent retreat in October. I don't know how I'm going to pull that off because Texas is playing Florida, and I don't know if the guru will let me turn on the game in silence. So we'll see what.
Yeah, exactly. I look forward to that report back to see how it goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy. It's because I have a bit of some of your back story in terms of your mental fitness blueprint, right? And what you want to focus on. And one of the top practices for the season was actually stillness and silence. So you're definitely practicing what you, at least the intentions that you set going through that blueprint, which I hope you feel pretty good about because people don't.
I love that. See, you and I are lifelong learners. How can we get 1% better every day?
Yeah.
You know, how can we, you know, where our kids and our friends have seen, holy shit, that guy's really grown a little bit since, you know, the loudmouth class clown from, you know, 25 years ago taking over the world. It's not like that. It's giving back. It's the circle of life where we are at this time. I've already won 100 times over, you know. Now what can we do to really give back in our journey? And, you know, just making people feel good about themselves and helping them grow themselves.
What are some, just thinking of Ticket City and some, I mean, there's also the restaurant, right? Or restaurant, there are multiple restaurants in that adventure?
Yeah. So, you know, when you are cocky and you think you've won at one thing, it's easy to go win at something else. And short answer, it is not. That was, you know, we'll go with a $5 million mistake. You know, okay. I mean, look, the intention was to save a brand that was not winning anymore. The restaurants were called Z Tejas. They were around for 40 years in iconic restaurants in Austin and Phoenix. And you can't just own restaurants and not go work them. You cannot own any business and not show up every day and be all in. Mm. And, you know, I just thought, you know, enough people know me. I could go over there and people are going to come see and drink margaritas with me. And, you know, there's so much more to owning restaurants. And you have to have the right operator. You have to be working in the business. And I did not do that. And, you know, recently I just shut them all down. And that was the boat owner moment, the happiest day of my life, you know, getting rid of those. And, you know, I'm the last man standing and I'm having to unwind everything. And it was just taking the life force out of me every day on owning a restaurant. So it's the old, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, you know, a lot of good things are happening. I'm, you know, I got out of all the leases and now I'm renting the one building that I own on I-35 to another restaurant. And, you know, life comes back to where it's supposed to be. It's getting centered. And as we're getting older, that's 60 wonderful. Next year, 60 terrific. Less is more. How do we do less, which gives us time to live our dash? And, you know, the dash I'm going to bring up here is the, I was born in 1965, dash, who knows when. I am living my dash, whether it's fishing, frolicking, you know, dancing in the rain. I am going.
Yeah, I feel that. And I think people listening and or watching can feel it as well. But I am curious. I mean, you're living your dash, but as, you know, as you're describing or sharing about the restaurant, see, I mean, like, that's not easy, right? So in the moments like that, I guess a couple questions. What helps you make, like, what helps you, your mind be clear on the right decision forward, which it seemed like was, okay, it's time to shut this down. And then when you're in the thick of scenarios like that, what gives you energy back? Like, where, how do you get back to that grounding or any of the, I guess, any of the teachings from Untethered Soul or, which is kind of all linked to this, right?
You know, I think of myself, for better or for worse, as part unicorn because I just look really good in a unicorn onesie.
I've seen one of those photos, by the way.
Yeah. not for the faint of heart. But I want to feel that. And if you have a depressed unicorn, you know, I mean, it is a clash. It is a clash. And the restaurants literally consume me because I love to win. I don't lose. I am, you know, I'm Midas touch, you know, I mean, but that's what, it was almost a blessing getting crushed on something like this, realizing how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you're not putting your everything and all into a restaurant, showing up every day and shaking hands and kissing babies and talking to the folk. And let me tell you, I did my 18-hour days for, you know, 30 years. I showed up in, you know, fighting the fight with Ticket City, competing against StubHub and the different companies out there to win. And that was my passion, you know, and the restaurants, I did not want to go do 18 hours a day. I was like, what are you thinking? You want to do some unicorn skipping and go fishing and give back to young kids and artists that need our help. I mean, how do we show up for others? And I couldn't show up for the restaurants. It was a bad decision. And
how did you know though, Randy, like for you, like, what did it feel like for you knowing that, like, I'm trying to get to, like, what was the moment in your core where you're like, feels like the unicorn's getting a little depressed here, you know?
Yeah. Like, so naturally I took over the restaurants right before COVID, you know, and
well, that didn't help.
And, you know, when you have two businesses, a ticket business and you have a restaurant business, and it's during COVID, your life force energy disappears because your identity is gone. Wait, I'm not selling tickets to anybody. I don't have anybody to sell to. There's no events. And no one's coming to my restaurants because they got to sit 8 feet apart. And, you know, the people coming in yelling, I don't want to wear a mask, and then wear a mask. I mean, it was just brutal trying to get a few people in. And we did so many Book of Good Things. You know, we were able to bring food to, you know, hospitals and to, you know, older age facilities. And, you know, we helped out, and it was great. But it was mind-boggling that my whole self went away because of no identity after that. And it was, you know, turning to some bad stuff. I had some bad, you know, great place to hang at my house on the lake. But when you don't have an identity, you turn to things that, you know, you're partying too much. What else you're supposed to do during COVID? And so that was a really big struggle. And, you know, my life force energy and the unicorn colors just dissipated. And it took a while to get those back. And really just coming out of closing the restaurants a year ago, that was the key to work my way back to, get my color code back.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, what helped in retrospect? I mean, I know that you're still coming out of some of that, but were there any practices? Were there any habits or anything personally that helped kind of regain those colors? Because there's a lot of people that are currently still in a state like that, right? I know the data, unfortunately, and it's not the greatest. So I want to give, you know, and it's not to get a prescription but it's like, that's what worked for you. And I'm willing to bet that there's elements of that that'll work for me and others and so forth. And the more we talk and share, you know, like, oh, I can do that too, or I can try it. And I think that's where the ripple effect of conversations like these can be really helpful.
You know, it's actually just little things. I'm in a relationship with a wonderful young lady right now. And I think if you bring up questions like, hey, these are the three things I like most about you. Your smile, the way your heart just operates, and, you know, the way you give me butterfly kisses, you know, and then you say, what are the three things you like most about me? You know, and these are just the positive words of affirmation, but your little bounce back things, wow, that made me feel good, you know, or send that person a song, you know, that you just heard on the radio, whether it's from Ella Langley, you know, new hot country singer, or Garth Brooks, you know, I Got Friends in Low Places, and you send them a song that you're just thinking about them that you hear, that just gets your energy up. And it's little touches that are so simple to do, and we forget to do it because we get so hung up on going through our 2,000 emails if you're the zero email person trying to get done with that. I mean, let's touch our friends. I got a little note today. You know, I'm going to share this with you.
Please.
If I can find it. This is from Amy's Ice Cream. And Amy was a speaker that I had last year. And Amy's Ice Cream is, she's lovely. And, you know, she's an ice cream girl. She's handled all the ice cream sales, you know, in Austin all along for the last 30 years, you know, along the same time as Ticket City. And, I don't know if I can find it, but I'll try. And she sent me something out of the blue, I'll share this with you. Randy Cohen, I have been so neglectful in telling you how much you mean to me and how grateful I am for your relationship. I love my time at GOT. I had many great conversations and eye-opening insights. I cashed in my Lola blanket gift, and I'm not exaggerating. I have been responsible for 200 plus purchases since then, and I'm a Lola freak. I own two in Austin and two in Cape Cod. Thank you and thank you. You are the ultimate connector and such a supporter of women. I'm insanely grateful to have been a recipient of your love. Hope to see you soon. Ollie, that's her daughter, told me she got a RC hug recently. Hope your family is well. Love, Amy. She just touched me out of nowhere, and heart is full on that. Those little one-on-ones make all the difference in the world. Touch and then be touched, and you're winning.
Well, and it's just what I love about a practice like that, to your point, it literally takes seconds, right, to send a message like that. We all think of people. They pop into our mind kind of randomly, and that's the invite, the opportunity to be like, yeah, you know what? I haven't sent Randy a message. And what I love about it is that I'm willing to bet that you sent something back, like thank you, made my day or something, which then makes her day. And it's this gratitude loop, right? That, you know, what's not happening when that whole thing is going down is we're not looping or, you know, ruminating or worrying about what is about to or happen or if this, if that kind of thing. Like, it's just a way to short circuit and pause the mind and reset instantly.
And you nailed it. I sent her back loop of love. Amy, so good to hear from you. And it was awesome seeing Ollie and Henry at his graduation. Let's definitely catch up soon. And I'm a Lola freak too. And I love you. Woo, woo.
Exactly.
You know,
there it
so
is.
Sweet touches, heartful.
Love it. I pulled up, I just want to read one piece of advice that came from your blueprint. And thanks again for going through that process. It's something I've been really pumped about and trying to get more people into it and so forth, or going through the motions and giving them practices that will help. One of the teachers that you picked at the end was Joseph Campbell, which makes a ton of sense now, just based on what you shared in terms of the people you're reading about it and so forth. And he said this at the very end. He said, as you work to reduce overthinking and stress, remember that the hero's path is not about avoiding dragons, but learning to dance with them. And first of all, I think we can all appreciate that. I think we're all probably overthinking and have a bunch of stress at this point. So I personally was like, that was a really great perspective shift. But I wonder, what do you think about that? How have you been navigating, you know, just dancing with the dragons versus kind of trying to fight them?
Yeah, well, I consider myself a dragon slayer. You know, when you have to get out of bed every day, you know, and go, woo, woo, let's go, L-E-T-S-G-O. What do we got to do? There's some dragons to slay. That's your, you know, let's get it done so we can now go, you know, fly with them. And I'm just a firm believer of that's the circle of life. I'm not slaying as many dragons anymore. I'm dancing with them. I want to hop on there and
I've got the visual.
And, you know, let's take some road trips and fly and have some fun and, you know, befriend the dragons now, you know, or we're pals. I heard something interesting the other day. It was, I think, from a World War II deal. One of our, you know, fighter pilot bombers was going over there, and there was a Japanese guy, and, you know, our bomber guy was a little injured on the plane, and the Japanese bomber actually just stayed with him and got him flown in to where he could land safe. And these guys met 30 years later, you know, like instead of him destroying and blowing another person up, they ended up, he kind of saved them or whatever. And I just thought, that's what it's about. You know, I mean, having a heart that makes a difference, because, you know, we can't hate each other forever. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in some cases we can. You know, we know the Israel and the you know, that whole stuff going on for centuries, and how do we get out of that so we can get into living together as one? And because everybody has something in common. You can find something in common with anyone, whether it's the same favorite color, that you both have kids or three daughters or three sons, or, you know, your parents both went to school in New York. You're going to find a connection. And if we could just help find that one connection to start the conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to find something, and then, wow, you're going to be friends. Yeah. And if you don't, and you get in a big battle and you fight each other, after you fight each other, wow, that was a good fight. Now we're friends. You had something in common. You know, but we got to learn to keep the love going. And it's hard to keep that going. I want to see more successes in relationships. That's where we're struggling in our world today.
And this might be related to that, but I'm wondering, it seems like you're in a pretty reflective phase of life as you're entering kind of the next chapter and so forth. I'm wondering if there are, like, what are some of the reflective questions maybe that are on your mind right now as you're entering in that next chapter that you think would be helpful for others? Or maybe another way, I know you're a fan of a morning hot tub. Like, what's, you know, what are the questions coming up in the tub?
Yeah, you know, so every morning I go on out there and I cannonball into that hot tub. I have my cup of coffee and I'm looking for the hummingbirds that are flying around me. I'm looking for, you know, just the old Disney show. What is it? The Lion, you know,
The
Lion King. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the old lion. I'm looking for my Zazu giving me the morning report, you know, as I'm checking my emails and knocking those things out. And, you know, it's just my happy place for, you know, 40 minutes before I, you know, got to get out there and, you know, start my dragging slaying or, you know, in enjoying the moment. So that puts me at peace. Find something that you do. After that, I'm now hopping onto my Peloton. I get 30 minutes of that where I, you know, sweat the bad juju out, and, you know, then I shower up and I'm like, all right, let's go, L-E-T-S-G-O, what's on the calendar? And I try not to book it up so much, you know, because other things happen, other things I might be needed for. You know, I got the call, you know, looking at friends. I'm at a happy hour with a buddy the other day and a couple friends, and I looked at him as he walked in, and he's ghost white. And I'm like, what's wrong? You know, we can, if we pay attention, something's wrong. His wife, stage 4 cancer, just started a month ago, turbo cancer. She's in, you know, the hospital right now. It's already gone to the liver. I mean, notice that on what's going on. You don't know their stories. How can we be there to, you know, he hadn't told anybody. And, you know, he was able to get something out by telling me. And, you know, maybe I can help him fight that fight a little bit with her and some unusual ideas. But we got to, you know, start our day so we're open to really seeing what's out there on how we can make a difference. Because you don't know the story of what people are going through. And, you know, there's a lot of twists and turns right now in our world. And how can we be there for others is just my mindset.
I love it. Last question for you, Randy. What's a life well lived mean to you?
Making a difference for others. You know, how can I create, you know, the best life possible and learning experience for my children? I've got twin boys that are 31. Both their wives are Prego right now. I've got a darling daughter that, you know, is dating somebody in Dallas. You know, she's dating my daughter's dating a nice, beautiful 34-year-old Jewish attorney, and they're in happy land. And, you know, just being supportive. You know, I went up to Dallas to have dinner with them the other night, and it was great, you know?
Yeah.
And just be there for family and friends and office employees. I mean, I've learned a lot through GOT, and that has been a guiding force in helping me just be there for others. It's that circle of life. At 60, you're a lot different than 40. You know, you don't want to slay the dragons, you want to fly with them.
Yeah, I love that. I have to ask you one more question, because you give, and I think everyone can feel it. You give to so many people and support so many, and it's part of your kind of life force and energy out there. I wonder, who's the first person that comes to mind that's your unsung hero that gave you the support, gave you the words of encouragement when you needed it most?
Well, I talk about a lot of that in my book, you know, Secrets of Swagger, How to Own Your Cool in Life and Business.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of mentors, and I've met some amazing people in this world. I mean, I've been able to be friends with the Richard Bransons and, you know, wear unicorn onesies to his events. And basically things that I talk about in the book. You got all the C letters, collaboration. Who doesn't collaborate better than Lady Gaga? I mean, when she's doing her stuff. Charisma. Who has more charisma than Frank Sinatra? Old Blue Eyes walking into a room with his Rat Pack back in the day. Commitment. You think about people like Ronda Rousey, who is a top fighter, MMA fighter. You know, how do you become number one and have that commitment to winning and discipline to do things? Courage. Who had more courage back in the day than John F. Kennedy when you got to deal with the Russia things and the Bay of Pigs and making those decisions? That's crazy. Coolness. Is there anyone cooler than George Clooney? You know, yes, walking through a room. That guy got more honey bunny action than anybody I know. You know, maybe other than Tom Brady, right? Yeah. Competitiveness. Richard Branson. That dude wants to win. These are all guys that made a big influence on my world. Charisma. All right, John Wayne, you're going old school, but that cowboy, would gallop in and, help and change the world. I also have to put Ronald Reagan in there with a little, charisma and character. And then creativity. Well, Jimmy Fallon, what a rock star in Jimmy Fallon. I mean, that dude is creative as heck. I went to Wimbledon one year, and George Michael and Jimmy Fallon were right in front of me in Wimbledon. And I kind of had a man crush, and I had talked to him about the book.
Yeah.
In the book, and I was like, goo goo gaga. I'm like, Jimmy, let's take a picture. And I'm like, he's like, I'm, not many people I have man crushes on, but just having fun. Jimmy's, I got a little rowdy on that one.
Yeah. So but these are all people
that have been influential in my life.
Yeah. Well, Randy, thank you so much. I mean, I deeply appreciate you for taking time to be on this show, of course, and spreading some of that unicorn love and energy. And I mean, a higher thank you for just like what you do day in and day out. And I know to give that kind of energy and that level of just good vibes and perspective and so forth. Also, it takes a lot for you to kind of muster that up as well and keep those levels up. So thank you for doing that. Almost think it's like a bit of an act of service for everyone. And we all benefit from that. And here's to a little bit more silence and calm in your life to balance everything out. I know one of your intentions in that silent retreat for sure. I'll be interested to hear a little bit more about that. And here's to the next chapter,
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to keeping in touch with you when you get down to Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And all you folks out there, look me up. I'm an open book, randy@ticketcity.com, where you get the best of tickets for the best of times. And we'll give a little discount code for all your people out there. Cohen1403. If you ever go to Ticket City and you want to see a World Cup game or Olympics or go to the Masters or just see a concert or do something fun, look me up when you're in Austin, and you all are now officially in the loop of love because of this young
full
man.
Circle. Cohen, what was it? 14?
Cohen 1403.
Cohen
1403. Whenever you're on Ticket City, it'll give you guys a little friends and family, save you a few shekels. And because we're all working every day to do something fun. You're earning it. Go enjoy it, man. Got one life. It goes fast. Let's go. Let's go. L-E-T-S-G-O.
Let's go. Here's to live in the dash. I'll put everything in the show notes so you've got, your one click away and the code's there and so forth. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate you.
Love you, brother. Thank you so much. Yeah. And, look forward to seeing what you put together, and we'll keep in touch.